Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Monday morning, and I am Glenn McGeek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for August 6, 2012, episode 459. And today's episode is brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse people.
Yep, it's Monday.
All right, let's take it from the top again.
Not have to be grateful for on a Monday morning. It's Monday. You've got a whole long week of work ahead of you. It is summertime, so it's blistering hot outside. Your horses are sweating standing in their stalls or in their pasture. Wait, I know what you have to look forward to. We still have the Olympics going on. How fun are the Olympics? Are you having so much fun watching all these random sports? I watched badminton yesterday, finally, for the first time. I caught badminton. I've been searching and searching for it on NBC, and I watched it for about 3 minutes, and I'm like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Why is this
come on. I love badminton. It's one of my favorite sports.
I spent most of the morning watching
tennis yesterday. Tennis was great yesterday.
I did notice, though, that you did post on Facebook something where you actually might have agreed with me, because you're watching so much women's tennis and you're realizing that the screaming and the is so annoying.
You know what I determined? I sort of agree with you. The grunting I can almost handle. This one girl was shrieking. I mean, shrieking at everyone. It sounded like the chalkboard thing with the fingernails. It was like, I can't watch this. I couldn't watch it. I had to almost agree with you there. I couldn't do it. It was awful.
It's too painful. I don't know how they don't lose their voice after 5 seconds of that.
There was some great tennis this week. I got to say, I'm a tennis fan, and there was some pretty good tennis. Yeah, but you're right. All the random sports we watched, synchronized diving. I didn't even know that was a sport.
I didn't either.
I was sitting there watching these two girls. And, I mean, it is, you know, Jennifer likes watching diving, so we watch diving. And water polo is kind of tough to watch because they're under the water. You know, you can't really see much except the ball bobbing around at the top.
We'll talk about water polo in a minute because I got a good story for you associated with my baby Winnie.
Okay. All right. Fun random sports. But badminton, I do like badminton. I would be in a badminton league if there was one in Ocala.
Let me just tell you, Glenn, you'd get your butt kicked. I mean, that little thing, they hit that thing so hard down to the ground, it's insane. The sport that I would like to get involved in, if I wasn't such a wuss, is trampolining. Hello, how fun does that look?
I think you're making that up. I have not seen that anywhere.
What? You got to, like, put it on your Google search or something for your NBC channels, because trampolining may be the most fun sport ever.
What do?
They jump on trampolines. They jump on trampolines. And these little Asian dudes can flip like you would not believe. It's insane.
Well, we're actually going to talk about jumping here at some point today, a little bit later on. We have a guest coming on to do that. Let's find out from Jennifer what guests we do have. We're packed full today.
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, Alpha on the topic alphabet. Today is Olympics.
followed in hot pursuit by more Olympics. That's right. Team Fleeceworks rider Joy Gatlin is here, and she's going to bring us up to speed on the latest on the show jumping at the Olympics in London. And just as importantly, Omega on the Parade of Equestrian Craziness. We will take a day trip to the Sand Key Rodeo School. Yes, you can go to school to learn how to go crash and break your teeth and your collarbone. Eventers should try that. And on this day in 1991...
Seriously, who needs school for that?
Learn by doing. And on this day in 1991, foreign car repair shops across America took a serious blow when the French automaker Peugeot said au revoir to the U.S. car market.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Hey, I really wanted to say happy beer day, but that was yesterday.
Yeah. Did you have a beer yesterday? It was beer day yesterday, Jamie. Make sure you didn't miss out.
You know, I don't actually think I had beer yesterday. So, wow, I'll have to make up for it today.
Yeah, two today to make up for it. Well, the chat room, Jennifer is opening up the chat room. So if you want to chat with the other listeners on the show, you can just go to blogtalkradio.com and click on Horses in the Morning, and you'll find the chat room on that page. It's also Call in to Win is back today. And we have a very patriotic, I thought it was the Olympics, and Draper Therapies contacted me, Kat from Draper Therapy said, we have a very patriotic, this is a human blanket, not a horse blanket, that, and it's not therapeutic, it's not their therapeutic blanket, it's just something that they manufactured. Their parent company has been manufacturing stuff since 1856 in the textile market, and they occasionally make some fun stuff, and what they did is they made this blanket to help promote, you know, the United States and being patriotic. And it's just really cool. I don't know if you saw it on the Facebook page there, Jamie. It's dark blue, and it has this vibrant American flag on it. It would look great on your bed there, Jamie, actually.
I think it would match my helmet. Yeah, it would match my helmet perfectly. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. How about
okay.
that?
Okay, I got to find out about that, too, because I didn't know you got your helmet. Good. So, yeah, that blanket is beautiful. So when you hear this, I thought this was appropriate. When you hear this, it'll be in the first hour of the show today. You can call in to win. So when you hear a little Born in the USA, a little Springsteen, yeah, you can call in to win at 347-637-3238, and we'll take a caller to win a little later on in the hour.
Caller 10, yeah. Baby. Caller 10 to win.
Not now. Later on.
Yeah.
Later on.
No, not right
now.
Let
me hear that. Yeah. Daily Winnie. My Daily Winnie goes out to Frankie Lovato, our friend and ex-jockey who's been on the show many times, helps us cover the world of racing. Well, he had a post on his Facebook page, and I want to read it to you because it's very exciting. Hey, friends, special announcement. I have been invited to ride in a Legends charity race Friday, August 17th, as part of the Arlington Millions Festival at Arlington Park. I am so excited, woohoo. Now I have to be able to get into my jock pants. That will be my biggest challenge. So he is very excited to get to race again.
That's fantastic. Good for him. Did he have to get down to jockey weight?
I don't know. You know, I think he should just splurge and buy a pair of riding breeches at this point, you know. He's only got 2 weeks. I mean, yeah, you can sweat weight all you want. You got 2 weeks.
Yeah, he's going to have to go to sweat boxes. Good luck with that. Good luck. We're excited for you. Yeah.
Jennifer, I don't think he's riding popcorn as Tony. I think they're actually providing him a horse. So
just checking.
Your turn.
Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to Yudi Shepherd because sometimes our listeners post things that I'm thinking. And I want to recognize her for posting this one thing, but I had a little bit different ending to the story. She said, I was so excited that NBC finally showed some show jumping, and about 20 minutes later, they break away to show water polo. Really? Water polo. Who in the heck watches water polo? A bunch of chicks pulling each other underwater by their bathing suits. Well, Yudi, I've got a little water polo story for you, my friend. Let me tell you why people watch water polo. my husband and I are sitting there flipping through the coverage yesterday.
I know.
And
we're going to talk about it.
Did you see this?
Yes. In a replay, not live. Did you see it live?
Oh. Oh, yeah. If this is what you're talking about, we were watching water polo, and NBC, just right there on the screen, these two girls start really scrapping with each other. I swear to God, it looked like one girl was going to drown the other girl from up above. She was, like, pushing her down and everything. So they go to the underwater shot, live on NBC. And this chick's bathing suit was down to her waist. And the only thing that we saw underwater, I mean, you could miss it, was a boob. I mean, flat out giant boob sitting there in the middle of the screen underwater for everybody to see. Chad and I were like, oh my God, it's a boob. And they cut away so fast. I mean, but there was anybody watching that water polo was like, boob! Big sky boob right there. It's right on NBC live for everybody to see. Did they talk about that later, Glenn?
Yeah, there actually were a couple incidents. That was one. And then there was another incident where the girl, they were showing the other. They're going to have to get rid of that underwater camera is what they're going to have to do. They were showing the underwater shot, and she was pulling. They take and they yank on the opponent's swimsuit. And she was pulling. She had gotten her hand in where the boob is on the swimsuit and was pulling it out. So you could see side shots. And she just kept pulling this girl's swimsuit out, and the girl kept just flashing the camera, and the camera didn't go off of it right away. I don't know if the cameraman, you know, it's not a cameraman under there, so it's automated, but whoever was producing didn't realize what was happening right away. for 20 seconds, you could see this girl just pulling this girl's bathing suit. It's nasty under there.
It might be the same thing that I saw, because it was on the screen for quite a while, and it was like all of a sudden they were in the middle of kind of replaying this whole thing underwater, and then they just stopped and went to something else. But it had to be. I mean, maybe that happens a lot, but Yudi, that is why people watch water polo, because you can get some free boob shots on NBC Live. That is the reason, my friend.
Well, I just looked up. Trampolining, and you're right; it is on the list of sports. And I gotta say, there's something that we noticed, and I'm gonna try and be as politically correct as I can about this. The Chinese names sometimes don't translate real well to American lingo, because I'm just saying that the winner of the gold medal in the men's individual trampolining's name was Dong Dong.
Dong
Dong won the trampolining, and I'm just saying that they don't always translate well. That's all I'm saying.
Wow, that's fantastic. That is just fantastic.
But I have not seen any of that. Now I'm going to have to go back and watch how exciting that sport is.
Well, apparently it's over if you've already seen, you know, Dong Dong won the gold medal. I mean, it takes away all the suspense.
Do they have, like, pairs, synchronized trampolining?
You know, I've only seen one guy trampolining, but a pair thing would be awesome, because what if you got double bounced? And you know what happens when you get double bounced.
That's funny. Anyway, we're going to be coming up to our first guest here shortly and talking actually about a jumping or a horse jumping. And we're going to find out what happened over the weekend with that. Do we have time to talk about your exciting news, or should we go to our guest?
No, we'll save it. We'll go to our guest because, you know, we've got so much Olympic talk coming on, and there's so much that happened over the weekend in show jumping. And we will get to dressage, but we've got a show jumping guest on with us right now, and you can hear her. It's Joey Gatlin, and she is going to give us an Olympic show jumping progress report. Good morning.
Good morning. How's everyone?
Oh, we couldn't be any better. Thank you so much for joining us. You are a show jumper as well, so you've got kind of the backdoor scoop on what's going on with the show jumpers. So tell us a little bit about yourself first so we can introduce you to our listeners.
Well, I'm a professional from Orange County, California, and I've been doing show jumping all my life. I've competed internationally in Europe and Asia and here in the United States at some of the big international shows. My husband and I, Morley Abbey, run a business in San Juan Capistrano training other people to do this crazy sport.
Well, thank you for getting up so early. I'm also on West Coast time, so I feel you, girl. This trying to be perky this early in the morning is not normal, so I appreciate it.
Well, so, it's my pleasure. This is fun.
Oh, good. So we had a lot. By the way, I will mention that you do have some movie experience, and you're in California working with the horses. Tell us about that real quick.
Well, my dad was in the movies. He was started out being a stunt man and then did some second unit directing and stunt coordinating. And I did several movies with him. I did Sylvester, Three Amigos, and a couple of others, some horse.
Wait. You did Three Amigos?
I did. I was running through the town trying not to get blown up.
Really?
Yeah.
See, Glenn, this is why you're not allowed to talk, because she mentions two movies. One, The Three Amigos, and then she mentions Sylvester, which is possibly one of our favorite horse movies of all time. And this is a horse radio show, and you interrupt her to talk about The Three Amigos? Tell us about Sylvester.
Wait a minute. Was there not horses in The Three Amigos? Tell me.
Oh yes. Lots of riding and things like that. Yeah, lots of galloping around, lots of crazy stuff.
Okay, so let's stick to it, Glenn. Okay, come back to us here. So, Joey, tell us a little bit about what you thought about the Olympics for the show Jumpers this past weekend.
Well, I've been watching every day, and it looks like an amazing stadium they're jumping in. The footing looks state-of-the-art. It looks like the horses are just flying off of the footing, and that's one of the most important things. They have some real signature, beautiful jumps. The horses are really giving those a lot of respect, and a lot of water obstacles. Yesterday, I think there was three different water obstacles, which is a lot. Usually you have a Liverpool and maybe the open water, but he had two Liverpools and the open water. And again today, he's using the open water, and it seems to be causing a bit of trouble. The horses are really, really having to stretch over it. But it looks, you know, the weather has been good, a little bit of rain, you know, yesterday, but that's nothing that all of these riders aren't used to.
So let's talk a little bit right now about the Canadians, because they have run into a mess of bad luck in the Olympics in general. We'll get to the, you know, their dressage tomorrow probably, I guess. I mean, there's so much bad luck surrounding the Canadians, it just breaks my heart. Tell us a little bit about their show jumping.
Well, you know, first of all, Eric Lamaze loses his top horse, Hickstead, to a super unfortunate situation. He had a heart attack, basically, and that's always very sad. You know, Ian Miller's on a nice young horse, and Jill Hensel was on a horse that she's been working towards this forever. And then the young rider, Tiffany, you know, strange situation with the jury deciding that her horse was a little too sensitive. And, you know, that's really a hard call, because horses can step on themselves in the ring. They can step on themselves in their stall. And the area of the lower leg close to the hoof is a very sensitive area. So it was just very unfortunate, you know, and I feel terrible for her.
So, yeah, basically what happened is they were doing – and is this – do they test this area for sensitivity because of the old practice, and maybe it's still a current practice, of pulling the horses?
You know, it's a new rule that the FEI has decided they want to enforce more, and it's really hard to say, you know, what horses are sensitive because of a manual means and which horses are just sensitive because they're sensitive horses. You know, the chestnut horses are more sensitive than dark-colored horses, and, you know, some horses are just more sensitive in general. So it's a really, for me, it's a very gray area that the FEI has kind of decided to jump on and use. And it's unfortunate result for Tiffany.
Well, it just sounds like there should be a little bit of a gray area. They were saying that Tiffany Foster's horse, Victor, potentially stepped on himself and cut himself in the stall. And Eric Lamaze is quoted as saying, "This is a complete miscarriage of justice. We all know why they all do the test. We all understand. But within a period of perhaps 6 minutes, five people poked the horse's leg 50 times. Yes, he does have a little superficial cut, but this is an injury that would not have put the horse in danger in any way that would made her, have made her gain any advantage in the ring. So I guess they're saying, oh, you know, the horse is hurt and increased sensitivity to the pole, so it'll jump higher. You know, who knows what they kind of think. But Eric Lamaze is pretty upset about it.
Well, and I would be too. Anytime you stand there and you poke a horse the same way over and over and over, he's going to lift his foot. You know, that the horse is learned by repetition, and you keep doing it over and over, he's going to think that's what you want. Oh, you want me to pick up my foot? You keep poking me, I pick up my foot. That's what you want me to do. So it's not the best rule, I don't think, that the FBI has going at the moment. And I agree with Eric. It's very gray and it's very unfortunate. And, you know, these horses are top athletes, and these riders love these horses, and none of these riders are going to put the horse in the ring if they think it's going to hurt the horse. So, you know, you got to use a little common sense sometimes too.
Oh yeah, I totally agree. So bad luck for the Canadians, but my God, Saudi Arabia, anybody see this coming? They're in first place right now.
Well, you know, the Saudis have been positioning themselves very well over the past few years. They've been buying a lot of horses. They've been buying a lot of German horses. They've bought horses from America. So it's not by accident that they're at the top, because they've been buying the best horses. And, you know, America's let some of their top horses go, and Germans have let some of their top horses go. So it's not a total surprise that they're at the top. I think the biggest surprise is that the Germans aren't in the top eight.
Oh, my gosh, you make a good point. When does that happen?
When does that happen?
So,
and, the British are sitting in second place, which, you know, the Great Britain has been having a pretty good Olympics so far with all of their athletes, not just in equestrian. But it is neat to see the audience just go crazy.
Oh, my gosh. Nick Skelton's horse yesterday jumped amazing. I mean, they have some great riders and great horses, and it's nice to see the home countries, you know, doing well like that.
You know, and it's so fun to watch a home country doing well with the crowd participation, because it really I cheer for Great Britain now, because their home country is so excited and so into it. And it was just like that when the Olympics were in the U.S. You know, no matter where it is, the home country definitely has a great advantage because of the crowd. Now, currently, right now, the United States is actually tied for seventh with Brazil. What is going on with the U.S.? Why are we having such a hard time?
Well, I think, you know, we have kind of a mixed bag of a team. We have a great team, you know, BZ Madden with a ton of experience. Her horse just was a little awestruck maybe in that ring the first day, and maybe just a little fresh, or, you know, just a little unrideable. McLean's horse jumping well, you know, he lost some rideability yesterday. He had that foot in the water just because he lost some ability to turn that horse to the right. That horse can get real strong. And Reed Kessler, my hat's off to her and Katie Prudhomme. They had a goal and they reached it. And she's just a little young, you know, and she just needed to maybe give a little kick in the middle of the triple combination yesterday, and she would have only had four faults. But Rich Fellers is my hero. That horse and he are just been amazing lately. He jumps clean. And I think you'll see Beasy and McLean kind of pull it together today. They're veterans. They know what they need to do today. And I think Rich is just steady. And I think it'll be good. And they'll just all give Reed enough confidence that, you know, she can jump up and jump clean also today.
Now, what happens today is the third round. So this actually will determine the team winner today, correct?
That's correct. You're going to have the team winner, and, you know, anything can happen. You know, Saudi's just leading with one fault. If Switzerland jumps all clears and Saudi has a rail, then they're at five faults, and, you know, then Switzerland, you know, jumps in there. It's just anything can still happen. It's all pretty close to scores, so, you know, it's tough course today. The oxers are wide. The water's big, so, you know, it's not done until that last horse canters through the finish markers.
And then, as I understand it, the top 35 will then continue on to the individual to go for the individual medals.
That's correct. You're seeing team riders and individual riders that qualified from the first day. It's kind of a class within a class. So you're going to have the team and individuals going, and people that are on the team as individuals. So whoever has the best scores after today as individuals will go on to the individual final.
Well, my God.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, there's 12 clear, but anything could happen. It's show jumping.
Well, I'm just glad we have Joey on here to explain all this. Now, before we let you go, Joey, we got to talk a little bit about one of your sponsors who we just absolutely love, and that is Fleeceworks. Tell us why they are important to you.
Oh, Judy and Fleeceworks are just awesome. They have developed some great, great products for the horses. You know, a horse really uses their back when they jump, and it's really important that you keep their back happy and keep it from getting sore and keep the saddle fitting comfortably. And Judy has produced a product with Fleeceworks, the saddle pads that go under the saddle, and they're just great fitting for the horses. They move with the horse. The material's top quality. I use them on every single horse I ride, and I recommend them to everybody. I think they're the best product out there, and they're just really, I've really seen a difference in the horses with the fit of the pad with the saddle. The horses don't get sore backs, and it's just, she's a lovely lady, and it's really fun to work with her, and it's really fun to have Fleeceworks.
Absolutely. Well, Joey, thank you so much. Joey Gatlin, and what's your website again?
You can catch us at joeygatlin.com.
And that is J-O-I-E.
That's right.
There you go. Well, listen, I hope you come back on after the Olympics and catch up. You did a fantastic job. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, it was my pleasure, and you guys have a great day. And watch the show jumping. It's on live right now.
I know. It drives me crazy. Wait, real quick, has Flexible gone yet?
No, he goes late in the order, so everybody's eyes will be on him, I'm sure.
Okay, great. Well, we haven't missed that one then. Okay, thank you, Joey. Have a great day.
You guys, thank you very much.
All right, and thanks to Fleeceworks for hooking us up with Joey. And again, that's joeygatlin.com. We'll go ahead and link to her website on our Facebook page. But she did a good job. It's so much information. You almost, with each one of these sports, Glenn, you need somebody individual to sit there and break it down for you, because I will get tired of hearing myself talk trying to explain all this. I'm sure you will, too.
I'm already sick of myself. What are you talking about? Competition and the format. The format is so different for each of these equestrian sports, and you know, it really does get complicated with these jumping rounds, and then there's all this round and that round, and this counts for this, and this doesn't count for that. It's very confusing at times. So it is nice to have it all broken down, and you can sort of understand what goes on. And as I understand it, with some of the sports too, the Olympics are different than the way they normally do it for world championships and things. So,
well, same deal with the eventing. I mean, I can only speak from what I know, but I know there's no jump off in eventing typically. And there was for the I'm going to watch this live here, third qualifier. There was definitely for the eventing, and that's not a normal thing that we usually see either. So I guess these international ones are just a little bit different.
Yep, that's right. Well, the company that is a little bit different and provides you with products that will help your horses is Omega Alpha. You know, we all care about what we feed our horses, probably more than what we feed ourselves. Omega Alpha also cares about what goes into your horses and ponies. That is why Omega Alpha only uses natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance. All of their products are made by them using the finest natural ingredients available. Dozens of different all-natural products are available to help your horses with the kinds of things, including their coat, digestive tract, kidney and liver function, muscles, joints, and so much more. And I know, Janie, Biotic 8 is one of the products that you have used, right?
I'm telling you, that was the turning point, I think, for Jet and I, trying to get his digestive system back on track, and, you know, did all of the ulcer stuff like that. But you have to get, you know, all the good and bad bacteria needs to be balanced in their gut. And that's what Biotic 8 does. It goes in there and it just kind of kind of connects everything. And I really feel like until I got him on Biotic 8, he was hard to keep weight on. He was still very grumpy, even after I treated him with all the Gastrogard and Omeprazole and all that kind of stuff. I think that the Biotic 8, after all of that, really put everything back together. I can't explain it as scientifically as, you know, Dr. Chang would, but basically it just balanced him. And it balanced all the flora and fauna, that's not even the right word, in his gut. So basically, yes, it really helped. I like it. I recommend it.
The good guys and the bad guys all came together and united
again.
Exactly. See all of their products at OmegaAlphaEquine.com or like them on Facebook by searching for Omega Alpha Equine, and we appreciate their support. Well, we're going to be coming up to our next guest here shortly, but I wanted to mention that we have not forgot to Call In to Win. We'll be doing that very shortly. Listen to Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA and then give us a call at 347-637-3238. Well, our next guest, we're changing gears a little bit here. We're going away from show jumping, and, well, this is sort of a version of jumping, if you want to look at it that way. And we're going into something that Jamie is very familiar with, and that is bucking horses, something that she's had experience with. And I don't know that she needs to go to this rodeo school, because I think she lives it every day. But Lyle is here, and he is from the Sankey Rodeo. Good morning, Lyle.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I didn't know there was a rodeo school, so this is fun to learn about in the first place. Do you really have people that have never done this before, have never ridden a bucking bronc, and really want to get into the rodeo business? Is that who comes to you, or is this a tune-up on the guys who are already in the business?
It's both, but, you know, everybody starts from not having any experience, so it's just like any sports camp or sports clinic.
Well, now, I got to imagine, though, if I want to go ride, you know, especially the Bronx or the Bulls, if I want to do that, I've got to have some horse riding experience, don't I? Or is this something you can learn without ever having ridden a horse before?
Yeah, it's totally different. It's just another sport. It's like growing up in the mountains doesn't help you ski, and, you know, growing up on the beach doesn't mean you're going to be a great swimmer. So it's a new skill, and that's really all it is. It's just different sports skills.
Okay, so tell us how your school works. How does it all work?
Well, it really runs very much like any contemporary camp. We use training units, we use lecture, videotape, instant replay, and, of course, actual livestock. And then there's different calibers of livestock, and we try to match those up with the students. We even have people come that it's called the Vision Quest Adventure Experience. They just come and want to do it for one weekend, but they want to have the right equipment. They want it to be supervised, and I have a lot of people that come and do that.
Now, how soon? Okay, so if I come in the first day, am I getting on a wild, crazy animal the first day, or am I going to be, a couple days into it before you're going to try and kill me?
Sure. Well, we buck stock each day, but it depends on the individuals. If they're struggling with the drills, sometimes they'll wait and work on those more the first day and wait and get on the second morning.
Wow. I could be on the second morning. That's a good thing or not. Now, how many of your people that come to school actually then go out and really do go into the rodeo world?
Well, it's split. You know, it used to be that the majority of them would go ahead and compete some, either at the lower level or high school, college, maybe amateur ranks. But nowadays we have a lot of people that just come and do it for one weekend. So it's split. It's about 80% that will go ahead and do some form of competition.
Some people just come out for the thrill of doing it?
Right.
No.
Like doing a one-time canoeing or rock climbing.
No, I was going to say they get scared, and they're like, no, I don't want to do it. No, I'm good.
It happens.
I'm sure.
That would be me. Now, you also have a clown school, too, don't you?
Yeah, and there's two aspects to that. The terminology is kind of separated over the years. The term clown used to be, it was the guy that did the cowboy protection, which meant distracted the bull away. Nowadays, when they use clown, that's the guy that does the comedy. And they use the term bullfighter for the guy that does the cowboy protection or the freestyle or the competition.
Okay. So what's that involved? I mean, you've got to learn.
It's just a new skill set. And, you know, they teach positioning. They teach how to how to read the animals, how to work with them, how to tell if they're, you know, a young bull that doesn't know how to do the fakes. And it's just another skill set. It's very, very scientific, so to speak. But, you know, you have to have a little more athleticism there to even pursue it. If you want to just get on a gentle range bull and fall off, you know, you can do that. But to actually be out there with the bulls that are a little more aggressive, there's a little bit different risk involved.
Yeah, and also I think a little bit different mentality. you got to be the kind of personality that is okay with all of that.
So I have a question for you.
Okay.
Now, what is your background as far? Were you a rodeo guy? Were you a clown? Were you a bullfighter? What was your history with rodeo?
Well, I don't do any of the bullfighting classes. We bring in specialized coaches for that, and we actually have associate coaches in all the events. But I didn't grow up around rodeo. I got started my junior year in high school. I kind of on a fluke deal. A little saddle club paid my entry fees at a youth rodeo. And I got attached really quick and pursued it. And then the marketing background is I'm one of four people who have ever qualified for the national finals in all three of the Rough Stock events. And then I've won the bull riding at the national finals a couple times. So that's the big marketing thing.
Well, marketing is whatever. That actually just takes some skill right there. What was your favorite event?
Well, they were all different, you know. When I would do those interviews, the bareback riding's to the surprise of most people, the most physical, because you're going to ride most of the horses, but it really puts a lot of strain on your body. The bull riding is more mental and emotional if you get out of position, because the strength difference, you know, a big horse is 1,200 pounds. That's a really small bull. So there's so much size difference in the bull riding. If you make a mistake, you just buck off. Now, when the injuries happen in the bull riding, they tend to be more catastrophic. And then the saddle bronc riding is more about timing and balance, and it normally is the longest to develop.
Okay, that makes sense. Well, where can people learn? If somebody's actually interested in this, where can they learn more about it? Do you have a website?
Well, we do have a website. It's just sankeyrodeo.com, just our name, S-A-N-K-E-Y, and then the word rodeo.com. We do schools all across the country. Right now we're not doing our West Coast or East Coast just because of, well, between California law and just the fuel prices out there, it's making it a little bit difficult. But we have schools that are spread out all over, and we have a lot of people that will fly in from different places and different countries. It's not unusual to have people from three or four different countries fly in for a location.
All right, very good. The website Sankey, S-A-N-K-E-Y, rodeo.com. Is that correct?
That's correct. Thanks so much.
All right, very good. Well, thank you so much, Lyle, for joining us. Who knew? Who knew that this existed? And if you're looking for some fun and some excitement in your life, this will certainly do that. So thank you, Lyle.
All right. Thanks for being with us.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, let's go to our song next there, Jamie, and then we're going to come back. We have some news that we have to get to, and then we also have Leslie from Horse Nation coming on. We're going to talk about some interesting stuff with her a little bit later. But I thought, you know, with all this talks of bulls and broncs and all of that and riding, well, there's one song, there's one guy that we had to go to, and you know who that is, don't you?
Jared!
Jared Rogerson is a bronc rider, and he has a little song about that called Addicted.
My teachers tried to warn me, stay away from that powerful stuff. My dad said, son, if you get started, you won't ever be able to stop. Well, look at me now, I'm doing fine. Happy to admit, I don't believe that hype. You know I got a good life, but they say that I'm addicted. Addicted to driving down the road, riding broncs and having fun. Addicted, well I'm really not. I could quit it anytime I want. Even if I puffed on rodeo, at least I'm not addicted to liquor or drugs. I could blow all my money and break all my bones, but I would never hurt anyone. I've always been the kind to be
drawn lately. It's got me questioning my common sense. Addiction's a form of weakness. I know that to be true. You're gonna pay for a habit. I pray I don't have it. Just between me and you. Addicted to driving down the road, riding cross and having fun. Addicted, well, I'm really not. I could quit it anytime I want. Even if I hooked on rodeo, at least I'm not addicted to liquor or drugs. It's broken bones and bruises and self-induced abuses that have never hurt anyone. The other day, I asked him if he guessed the itch. I said, it's 20 years since you've been on a bull. I guess you finally got it licked. Then his eyes went wild and he started to shake. Said, it hits him every spring. I said, thanks, Deb, you're not helping me any. Now I got a Hakadime ring. Addicted to driving down the road. Riding cross and having fun. Addicted, well, I really thought that I could quit it anytime I want. Now I'm sitting here jonesing for a rodeo. Might as well be liquor or drugs. Well, I could blow all my money and break all my bones, and I would never give enough. Well, I blew all my money, and that ain't fun, cause I just can't give it up.
Are you happy now, little Jared Rogerson, to get you going on a Monday, Jamie?
That's a good way to start a Monday.
You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenn the Geek. I am here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is over there on the producer chair today. And this show is sponsored by Omega Alpha Equine at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. And it's
I mean, it's the boss.
That's right. Perfect. It's time to call in to win. Call 347-637-3238. That's 347-637-3238 to win that beautiful patriotic blanket from Draper Therapies. It's the dark blue that has the bright, vibrant American flag on it. And we appreciate Draper Therapies for donating that. They occasionally do some of these fun products. And it's, you know, they do it to help support manufacturing. All of their products are made in the United States. So it's you know, it's appropriate that they do this. This blanket is made out of acrylic and polyester. It's super plush. It looks super soft and comfortable. And, you know, I guess you could use it on your four-legged friends or use it for your dogs or your cats or anything else you wanted to do. But we'll take caller number 10. Give us a call right now at 347-637-3238. And while Jennifer is fielding those calls, Jamie has some news. What happened? What's going on?
Oh, my gosh. I just wanted to let you, you know, I tell everybody about my horses, and I know that we've had some listeners say that they appreciate, you know, that they feel like my horses are in their backyard. And so I have to update you guys on what my backyard actually looks like right now with the horses. And so, you know, after taking little Joey, the little four-year-old, to the horse show and realizing that he is the calmest, like, easygoing horse around, and now that he's learned to walk, trot, and canter, and jump, we've been looking and looking and looking for a school horse, and I realized that I actually had the school horse in my backyard. So Joey is not going to be sold. Joey is going to go into the lesson horse program, and he starts that this fall. So that's my really exciting news about Joey.
Yay!
Yes, that's fantastic, which leads me to what I just posted online. We decided that we needed another fun project horse for me because if Joey is not going to be ridden by me every day, I have to have another horse to ride. So I've been searching and searching online and looking at different horses. I've been to see 1,000 horses, and I'll share those stories with you at another point. We need to go look for horses. But I just posted the video of my horse that I adopted from CanterUSA.org, and he was a canter, an ex-racehorse, right off the track. I mean, he still looks like a greyhound. He's right off the racetrack, and I adopted him. I got him from a trainer. So he was listed on CanterUSA.org. They have, like, the actual horses that have been taken into their program in the Canter, Arizona area. And then they also have listings by the trainers where the trainer has them and lists them as, hey, this horse is sound. He's ready for a second career. And it's awesome that Canter has that program and that trainers actually use it. So I was looking on and I just saw this horse and I thought, well, that is just the exact one that kind of fits the profile. I went out and looked at him, fell in love with him, and took him home. So
he is beautiful.
Now have,
wow.
Yeah, this is Soulful Air. His name is Soulful Air, and he ran 50 times, retired sound. I think he won 6 or 7 times. And when we went to visit him, it's a family that has him, a retired school teacher, and he trains horses for kind of, I guess, a post-retirement career. And he and his family loved this horse. And I can understand why they put him on Canter, because they really wanted to see him go to a good home. They took Chad inside their house, showed us all the videos of his races, sat down and gave us the photo album to look at, which had all his winner's circle photos in it. Just this horse was a part of their family, and they welcomed us in after, you know, we decided that we'd take him, and it just kind of made it a whole great experience with him. So at any rate, we are really excited to have him. The thing is, his name is Soulful Air. And you can't really just say that very easily. So he needed a barn name, obviously, right?
Oh, which baseball player was it this time?
No. See, that's where you're wrong. Because I have a horse named Fighter Jet. I have a horse named Joe Montana. I have a horse named Jack Daniels. I am not letting my husband name another one of my horses. So I said, this one is mine. I am naming this horse. And it took... It took a lot of time kind of figuring out what his personality was. And I've had him for a couple of weeks, but we just haven't been able to talk about him with the Olympics and stuff. And so I was lunging him one day, and Chad goes, you know, he looks so proud, and he's very quiet. And I thought, well, I'm just going to go as far away from him naming a horse as possible. And I named him after a Jane Austen character in Sense and Sensibility. His name is Edward, and he is the proud, quiet one. And so
isn't that
so
also
excited.
The name of the vampire guy in The Vampire Diaries?
Thank you very much for pointing out what every other person on the planet has pointed out to me after I name him. They're like, oh, did you name him after Edward from, what is it? It's not The Vampire Diaries. Twilight.
Yeah, that series. Yeah, Twilight, yes.
So my students come out and they're like, oh, you named him Edward after Twilight. And I was like, no, he's named after Jane Austen's character portrayed by Hugh Grant in the movie Sense and Sensibility that won an Oscar. And they're like, no, you
what?
Named him after the vampire Edward because guess what? We also have one of my boarder's ponies' name is Jacob. So I have Edward and Jacob in my backyard. Never seen the dang movie, never read a book about Twilight, hate vampires, hate werewolves, don't like anything scary, even though people say that's not scary, it's still scary, and I've got Edward and Jacob in my backyard. How ridiculous is that?
Well, the next thing, you're going to have Chucky. You add Chucky to it, and you're going to be good to go.
No Chucky. No Freddy Krueger. No Jason.
Does Edward have his teeth a little pointy in the front, Edward?
You watch your mouth. He is named after Hugh Grant's character in Sense and Sensibility, Edward the Quiet Proud One. Okay? God.
We have a winner, and that is Barbara from Massachusetts. Good morning, Barbara. Congratulations.
Good morning. Thank you very much. That's great. I've never won anything.
Well, you won today. You won Draper Therapies. They're up your way, too. They're made right up there. And you're going to get this very patriotic blanket. Now, is this going to be for the horses or for you?
I don't know. I have to see what it looks. It's pretty warm out here now, so it's not going to be for now, that's for sure.
Well,
it might be for me.
Barbara, don't lie. It's just like what happens at my house. Every single thing I own then belongs to my animals. So if it's a people blanket, it's where the cat lays or the dogs crawl up in and curl up in it. Or if it's outside, it becomes horsified. It doesn't matter what it is. You'll never use it. Your dogs will.
I think my dog will probably inherit it, but not at the beginning. It'll be too new for that. But I want to congratulate you on your new vampire horse, Edward.
Barbara, I don't need your help. He's not a vampire. He's named after a Jane Austen character in the novel Sense and Sensibility.
God,
why does nobody...
Okay. Keep saying that. Everybody will still call it the vampire horse. That's funny, though. You know, I'm the Red Sox fan. You and I have had some Facebook encounters about the Red Sox and the Braves, so I think your team's doing much fine at this point.
Yes, I'm sorry about your team. It really breaks my heart that the Red Sox are in the round. It's
down
terrible.
Now, Barbara, where are you at in Massachusetts? We used to live in Plymouth.
I'm in Lakeville, which is about a half hour south of Boston. I'm out in the country, and I keep my horse by, so that's
Plymouth,
good.
Exactly.
Well,
that's terrific. Well, thank you so much for calling in. We really appreciate it. Did Jennifer get your information?
Yes, she did. So thanks very much. That's great.
All right. Good luck to your team up there, you know, the red one.
Right. They need it. That's for sure.
Thanks, Barbara.
All
righty.
You know you're going to have to rename this horse. You're doomed.
I
have to rename it.
I had him named for a week already, and I told everybody before it was pointed out to me. I got him on a Friday. My students came the following Thursday, and they were like, oh, you named him Edward after the vampire. And the worst thing is he's stabled right next to Jacob. Oh, God.
You know you're going to be doomed. You have an opportunity right now. It's only been a week to rename this horse. I think, you know, and you know that there's another movie coming out, I believe. I think there's more to this whole series, so it's only going to get worse.
Yeah, you know, my mother, bless her heart, she is way too old to watch these movies, and she was so excited when I named him Edward, because she's like, I have only been to one movie in the last 10 years, and it was that one. I love those movies. She's like the biggest Twilight fan. She was so excited. I'm like, Mom, no, stop. It is not named after the Twilight. He is named Edward after Sense and Sensibility, Jane Austen. I thought if we have a horse named Joe Montana and Fighter Jet and Jack Daniels, I am going to go as foofy and girly as possible. Yeah, that didn't work out.
Barbie would have been better, you know. What's Barbie's guy friend there?
Ken. Yes, I should have named
Ken. Ken would have been better. You would have been better off of Ken.
I told him what I told him I was going to name Joe Montana, which is Rainbow Butterfly Strawberry Shortcake.
This is a beautiful horse, by the way. Very pretty.
Thank you.
Does he have any white at all? I can't.
He has a coronet band, but he is pretty much... after about a week of living at my house, he is now about buckskin because he is so bleached out.
He looked black in the video.
Yeah. It only took about a week. So, yeah, he's a dark bay, and he's just got a little white coronet band in his back leg. And conformationally, he is just built to jump, so that means he'll probably be a fantastic dressage horse. just because. But I'm really excited about him. I'll keep you guys updated on my progress. Thank you. I'm trying
now,
to video him while I'm lunging
is
him.
Is he for
and
you
lunging.
A resale, or what is he? What is he going to be?
Well, I asked asked Chad that. I said, please tell me that you're not expecting me to resell this horse, because we know how that works out. And he said that he is not going.
And he said?
Yeah, he knows that. He says, you know, I've learned by now that you don't sell anything and that I should just expect to keep him till he dies. And I was like, good, I'm glad we have this understanding. Uh-oh, we lost Glenn. Yes, so my husband, basically, he knows we're going to, you know, I can't sell anything, and so we're going to keep him, Glenn. I said, please don't make me think I have to sell him, because I just emotionally cannot take the thought that I might have to sell a horse. I can't do it.
We're gonna be coming up with our next guest here in a second, but we have some news stories for you, and a couple of them are getting off of Olympics here a little bit, and one of them is racing. Well, it's really not off of Olympics, actually. Sprinter Usain Bolt delivered yesterday. He won 2 gold medals sprinting for Jamaica yesterday. However, the namesake horse that you talked about last week, owned by one of the royal family, didn't do so well, did he?
No, Usain Colt apparently was defeated handily in the last race that he ran. What did he say? He came in like 8th or something?
Yeah, he didn't do too well. He was apparently very embarrassing, actually. Completely the opposite of his namesake, Usain Bolt. Now, this horse, Usain Colt, it was running in Australia, and is owned by something called the 100-member club, of which one of those members is Prince Harry. So that's where the royal connection is. However, not running so royally at this point.
Not doing so well. You know, and I wonder about this, because I wonder if people, when they name their animals, they understand that if you name him, like I had a horse named Graceful Flyer that I bought when I was, my 20s. And this was by far the goofiest, trippingest, falling over, least graceful horse I've ever owned. And I just wonder if you name something like Sweetie Pie, it's going to bite your face off. You know what I mean?
Well, so, then keep his name Edward, because he won't bite your face off then. If that's true, if it's the opposite are true, he's a vampire horse that won't chew on you. Try and suck
your
blood.
I shouldn't have even told you. I shouldn't have done it.
And if you're looking for a nice quarter horse and have $100,000 to spend, there is an auction coming up for you, and that is the auction of the 400 quarter horses that were bred by Rita Crundwell. Now, do you remember that name, Jamie? Rita Crundwell?
Rita Crundwell was the person that, didn't Alan know her from the rodeo world, where she had a whole lot of money and just spent it willy-nilly buying horses and trailers and motorhomes and trucks. And, oh, by the way, she was embezzling the money from her small town that she was the secretary for.
Correct. That is her. And the feds now, the Marshal Service, had seized the horses. And they are coming for auction. There's going to be an online auction for some of the horses on September 11th and 12th. And then they're going to have a live auction on September 23rd and 24th at her farm near Dixon, which I think is in Illinois, where 271 of the animals are located at the farm. The other ones are at farms all over the country, and they're going to do those in an online auction. Now, they said some of these are champion quarter horses. They expect some of them will bring prices up to $300,000. So now, maybe. I'm saying maybe because they've been trying to sell this woman's motorhome for the last month and haven't had any luck with that. And that's because the motorhome, when she bought it, was $2.1 million. I'm not kidding. She spent $2.1 million on this motorhome. I've seen pictures of the inside. It's nicer than 99% of the people's homes in the United States. And they've been trying to sell it for a month now, and they wanted the bidding. The minimum they would take as bids was $1 million, and nobody has bid. So let's hope they have better luck selling the horses.
Well, again, it's the day two idiots meet is the day somebody sells the motorhome for $2.1 million and the day somebody buys a motorhome for $2.1 million. Everybody who's like, you want me to spend $1 million on a motorhome? Like, who does that? besides Taylor Swift on her tour bus.
That's right. That's right. Well, the marshals actually went to the judge and said, we need to get rid of these horses, you know, because she hasn't been convicted yet. So she's just sitting there, you know, in jail, just waiting for her trial, but she's pled not guilty. So what her defense attorney said was, you can't get rid of all her property until she's convicted. And what the marshal service came back to the judges and said is, it's costing us $200,000 a month to maintain the horses and the properties. And the judge finally agreed with the marshal service and said, yes, you can start selling some of this off. The total bill for the animal's care so far is $500,000.
Oh, my God. So they're going to start auctioning off these horses soon?
Yes, September 11th and 12th is the live auction for about half the horses. And then the ones that are actually at her farm there in Illinois or Indiana, I can't remember which it is, will be auctioned off on September 23rd and 24th in a live auction. So it'll be interesting. They said they've gotten interest from all over the world, including Australia, Europe, and just all over the world. So I'm sure if these are top quarter horses like they're saying they are, they said you should have seen her trophy room. She had a room built on the house for the trophies, and apparently the trophy room was full, like the one you see at the Kentucky Horse Park there, you know, just full.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
No. That's awesome, though. So, yeah, if you want a great deal. So well, are they going to sell these horses, like, cheap? And what are these reining horses, roping horses? I'm sorry I'm asking all these questions. I'm just curious, like, how
I don't know much about them other than they're quarter horses. That's all I know. I don't think they're going cheap. They said they expect many of them to reach six figures.
Good God.
They're not going cheap. No, these apparently are champion horses. So the
wow.
AQHA will be bringing out its membership, and they'll be going to this online auction and the real auction and doing that.
Good deal. Well, hey, before we get to Leslie Wiley, I've got to give you guys an update. We were just talking about, like, people going to jail and horses being sold and confiscated and all that. Just want to let you know, I talked to my veterinarian, and last week, the person who starved Joe Montana and killed like 12 of the horses, they found like 12 horses dead at that facility where Joe Montana came from when I adopted him from the jail. They sentenced that guy. He is in jail. He is in jail. He is never allowed to own another horse. Believe it or not, they actually, sadly, only gave him 48 hours in jail, but I guess it's because he is so old and decrepit, and he's like, you know, drunk. He's a total drunk, and they think he's going to die in the next, like, 3 months. So they didn't want him to go and die in jail because then they have to pay for all the stuff. So they gave him 48 hours, but then he's under house arrest after that. So they want him to die in his own house, and he should die. It's probably the best thing for him. But he's just going to die. They want him to die in his own house. So they're like, you get 48 hours, then we're shipping you out of here and putting a bracelet on you. So, and he's never allowed to own a horse ever again, thank God.
Well, good.
But, again, she was really excited about the, I guess they don't really get much time in jail typically for abusing horses, sadly enough. So she was actually, this is a big victory, I guess. So, yay.
Yay for Joe Montana.
I know. I gave him a carrot that day. I said, this
justice
is for
Joe Montana. That's right.
justice for Joe Montana. Love it. All right. Well, we've got our next guest here on the line. It is Leslie Wiley from Horse Nation. And I have been following Horse Nation like crazy simply because you're doing some great coverage on the Olympics.
Thank you so much.
Well, you know, I think there's a lot of fun aspects of the Olympics we're trying to present.
Well, and that's what I'm talking about. Like, it's not the normal boring, by the way, we're going to just talk about who's in first and all this. No, you have the what you call Olympic happy hour. Tell everybody what Olympic happy hour is.
Well, I thought, you know, I think it's a conundrum that everybody in the equestrian media has. It's like, how do you cover the Olympics when everyone's covering the Olympics? You know, and so I thought, well, what would I want, you know, if I was the reader? And I thought, just, you know, a synopsis of what happened, you know, without having to sort through an epic story or tons of pictures or 1,000 links, you know, just like straight up what happened, what's going on with the U.S., So that's kind of what we've been sort of in a nutshell Olympic coverage. And then beyond that, we just sort of hit on, you know, the funny stories and the weird stories and all the little odds and ends that maybe not everybody else is picking up.
And that's the stuff people want. I mean, here you've got a story about CBS Sports, and the chick and the CBS Sports thing is actually tells everybody, hey, riding horses cross country is dangerous. Yeah, no, what, Sherlock? Okay.
Right?
People are dumb. But again, I love the. I was reading that article and I noticed below that, yes, you know what else? I guess they said it was dangerous for the animals, but they also said, you know what else kills animals?
Hamburgers
kill animals.
I loved that.
I know. And it's like your biggest sponsor for the Olympics is McDonald's. So you know what else kills people? McDonald's.
I thought that was a brilliant point somebody made.
Yes, I liked it. I liked it a lot. And I thought that, too. I'm like, oh, McDonald's. Now, Glenn, I'm going to have to let you know that even if McDonald's is beating down the door to sponsor our show, I just really can't get behind it. So I'm going to rip them for a minute. McDonald's is not the food of athletes, people. It is not. Have you been to a McDonald's? Those are not Olympic athletes that are standing in line, okay? So stop trying to sell McDonald's to us. Like, oh, my God, all of the Olympic athletes eat it. So should you. Please. What
true.
A lie.
I got to tell you guys, though, I have to be honest. I don't really like McDonald's, neither does Jennifer. However, there's two things I get at McDonald's. I do support McDonald's. I will get their chocolate ice cream sundae. Like those. And the second thing is their iced tea. They have the best sweet tea around for a dollar. I do get their sweet tea.
Glenn, do you, when you go into the McDonald's and you're sitting there in line and you're looking around, how many Olympic athletes have you seen in line with you?
None, but I will tell you this. If they want to sponsor our show and pay big dollars, we can talk about their salad. Just want to clarify that, if any case McDonald's is listening. We will gladly talk about your tea, your salads, and your ice cream.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you know that the McDonald's chicken salad that they have where they put the like fried breasted chicken
salad
and you cover it in ranch, it actually has more grams of fat than the Big Mac extra value meal? Did you see that movie? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't do it, girl. Don't do it. Just
all right, you got her off topic. See, that was bad.
Okay. Talk to us about Flexible, okay? Let's talk about Flexible because you have an article on here called Meet Flexible, the horse who is keeping the U.S. show jumping team's medal hopes alive. And this is such an amazing horse. Tell us about him.
Isn't he? I mean, and really, he truly is single-handedly kind of keeping our team afloat. You know, we just squeaked through to the second medal final or the second round of medal competition. I think we were the eighth place team, and they only let eight teams through. And you know, everybody else on our team is dropping rails, having stops, and then we've got this 16-year-old, 16-hand little Irish sport horse who's just you know, turning in double clean after double clean. And he's such a cool story. You know, he's really proven himself this year, and he won the World Cup in the Netherlands this spring, obviously. You know, and he's come, but it's a really neat story because he's come back from, you know, a couple of, you know, I think they thought that they were going to be career-ending injuries in 2004 and 2006, I believe, and he's, you know, I love little scrappy horses, you know, that just come up from behind and little pistols, you know.
Yeah, and not to mention that they're actually collecting him. He's a stallion available for breeding.
Yes, yeah, you can have Flexible will be your horse's baby daddy, your mare's baby daddy for, I think it's $2,500. So,
yeah, that's going to go up if he continues to do well.
Right.
Check this out. How common is it, and maybe you don't know, but how common is it for a show jumper to be competing at the age of 16?
I mean, I think that's you know, it's starting to push it. I haven't heard what the oldest horse is in the show jumping. I know for the eventing, it was the Lenimore, right? The off Caroline Powell's horse, who was 18 or 19? Right.
Yeah. Oh. And I know that I've seen the one gray horse at Rolex who was 19 last year. And you just don't see them really in their careers that late and being so successful. So he's going to ride this morning some point. I'm watching online here to see when he goes and hoping to catch him while I'm sitting here watching and we can watch it live. But yeah, definitely an amazing horse, an amazing story, and Rich is 52 years old himself, so he's no spring chicken either. That's what's so awesome about horses. You can be an Olympian when you're 50, not like these little 12-year-old, 9-year-old gymnasts who lose their careers over after one. So.
And it's his first Olympics, too. It's so
I know.
Neat.
That is fantastic. Now,
there's still time for us, Jamie.
we got to keep going. Just keep pushing it. By the way, I did see on your Facebook page all your photos of you jumping cross country. I think it was prelim or intermediate. Pretty awesome photos, girl.
Thank you. Thank you. It's my horse's second prelim, and he just rocked around and was such a good boy. I'm really so proud of him.
Yeah, it was great. You need to post those online, okay? They were great pictures. Put them on horsenation.com. Now, real quick, before we let you go, we got two more things to talk to you about. One being the movie Olympics. Talk to us about that.
Right. Well, you know, our movie critic, Amanda Ronan, she decided to have a little fun with her. She writes a column each Friday for us about horse movies or horse television. And she decided to sort of do a fantasy sort of pitting of the stars of different equestrian or horse movies against one another for the Olympics. So, for example, for eventing, she had Charlie from Sylvester versus Sarah Brown from International Velvet versus, this is sort of the dark horse, I think, what was her name? From Wild Hearts, the star of Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken, the movie about the high
diving horses. Serena or something like that.
And sort of and outlined the you know what they've got going for them, what they've you know what might be their struggles, and I you know I think that it was a fun read. You should check it out at Friday.
Who won?
She just kind of outlined their strengths and weaknesses and left it up to readers to decide.
That's a tough call. I mean, really.
I mean, who?
Sylvester Stallone's going to win, of course.
What? I don't know.
Who's going to win, Glenn?
I said Sylvester Stallone's going to win.
Yeah, that's not at all who we were talking about. So you just...
It's not the cat.
No, not Sylvester the cat. It's actually Sylvester the horse. And just so you know, that would be tough because Sylvester being an event horse and then the diving horse and then you've got National Velvet running the Grand National. It's like apples to oranges, really. It's impossible.
Right. Impossible.
Can't pick. Now, one more thing. I loved that you did this because I've been noticing some of the words that are coming out with the British Olympics going on. And you posted one of your stories is called Talk Like a Brit. And the word is chuffed. Huh. And since I have it in front of me, I'm going to read some of the quotes. I'm chuffed to bits for him. And that's Zara Phillips talking in People magazine, talking about her horse. He's such a talented horse. I'm chuffed to bits. And that's Nicola Wilson from the British, in a British Olympic Association press release. Then Mark Todd from New Zealand, I'm chuffed with him, but there's two more days of competition. And then Mary King, compared to the WEG, I was chuffed to bits. What the his eldest chuffed mean?
Well, yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Never heard of it.
So I decided to look it up. And because I was like, it's a great word, obviously, but I've never heard it before. And it's a British word that, you know, you can sort of see from the context. Excited, pleased with your horse. You know. But I also learned that chuffed is, you can use it, it changes meaning very easily. Say you had chuffed, so we're talking about chuffed, but if you had chuffing, that's sort of a synonym for the F word.
You have to be careful. Like your example online here is, it says, I'm chuffed with my dressage test is good, but I'm so glad to be done with my chuffing dressage test. That's bad.
That's different. Yeah.
Totally different. Totally different. So I'm glad that you're letting us know. Keep this up, because another one that I've been hearing a lot is, I was absolutely gutted. What does that mean?
Oh, gutted. Oh, yeah, that one ran its course. I mean, it's a good word, right? But, goodness, everyone was saying it. I was like, oh, no, it feels like
This meaning thing, so chuffed actually means you're happy, you're delighted, you're pleased with something, that's what I get out of that. And then, of course, chuffing, you said, is another. So it's sort of like what we were talking about before, Jamie, with the names of the Chinese athletes, with Dong Dong winning the trampolining.
Yes. Dong Dong. Now, I can't believe that you looked up the results already, Glenn. If you're going to watch it online, you spoiled it. Now you already know Dong Dong won.
Oh,
my gosh.
Dong
somebody,
Dong.
Else, somebody else was sick of people saying gutted. I was just reading the comments. I actually just threw that out there because I've been hearing it so much. I'm absolutely gutted talking about it.
No, right?
I'm so gutting sick of it.
I have to say, though, and I think, Leslie, you would agree, there has been no country that has supported the Olympics being in their country more than the British. They are, you can tell they're just having a blast with this.
They love it.
They are so proud, and they should be. I mean, so far it's kind of come off pretty well, but they've been so proud.
Oh, I know, and I love seeing the pictures of Will and Kate and them, you know, going around to the different events and having a good time. That's always so there's a little celebrity element too. I think that's a lot of fun.
Terrific. Thank you, Leslie.
And I just love seeing her. I just think she's so fabulous. Anyway, Leslie, thank you so much for joining us.
Sure.
It's horsenation.com. Everybody go check it out. You'll get kind of the rest of the story, if you will. That is why we like horsenation.com. That's why we highlight them every Monday. So we will talk to you again next Monday, Leslie.
Wonderful. Thank you, guys. Have a great week.
All right. You too. Hey, by the way, I'm supposed to mention, I got my helmet, and I absolutely love it. It's awesome.
Awesome. You have to take a picture. So it's going to be your cross-country helmet, right?
Oh, definitely.
Oh,
definitely.
Definitely.
Without a doubt.
Okay,
my colors are already red, white, and blue, so we're good to go.
Wonderful. I will have to see a picture. Next time you go to an event, I need to see your full get up. You have to post it online.
Okay, I'm not really fashionable at all, but my helmet is really going to step it up a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, thanks, Leslie.
Hey, Leslie, what brand was it again? Let's give him a shout-out.
1K.
1K, yeah, that's right.
Okay, terrific. 1K. Thank you, Leslie.
Ask me. I'm the one with the helmet, okay? I mean, geez.
It was her contest. I thought she would at least remember.
I mean, it was my deal.
Hey, there was some other big news over the weekend, too, something that we cover every year. Jennifer, you have who the winners were of the Tevis Cup. You remember Tevis Cup is one of the hardest endurance races, sort of out your way there, Jamie, out in California, and it is one of the most difficult endurance races in the world, and was run on Saturday. What happened, Jennifer?
The first and second place winners are a husband and wife team. How about that?
Really?
Garrett Ford came in first, and Lisa, his wife, came in second. And somebody asked them if they were how things were going out on the trail, because they're competing against one another, and there are a lot of families who compete in these endurance rides. It's a very family-oriented sport, and apparently there was an altercation at some point on the trail about who would be getting ahead. Yeah. I'm going to try and get Lisa and Garrett on the show maybe next week sometime after they've had a chance for sleep.
We want to find,
because it took
we
them
want to
14
find out
hours.
On the couch.
Yeah, it was a 14-hour ride.
All right.
Can you do that, Jamie, compete against Chad in a race like that?
Well, only if I win. So let me
well,
just, as I did
ride
with
your vampire horse.
Exactly. He's way faster. He's a racehorse. So as I was saying, with Clayton and Lucinda Fredericks, the night after dressage, when Lucinda is in first place, you know, and I kind of as a fly on their wall in their bedroom as they're going to sleep at night. Now, I would like to say that Garrett and Lisa Ford, you know, it's like, it's the end of the day. Garrett has won. They're both in their house, and they're walking around. They're stretching out. They're a little bit sore, a little tired. Oh, God, I've been 14 hours in the saddle going as fast as we can, you know. And Garrett says, "Hey, Lisa, what's for dinner?" And those are the last words that he says out of his mouth before he gets something thrown at him as hard as possible to his face, because I'm sorry, what woman would tolerate that? I want to know what the last 30 seconds were. I mean, did she just gallop as hard as she can trying to beat him, or did she let him win? Why would you do that? Was he like, sucker, and he took off when they were supposed to tie? I mean, how did that go? I've got to talk to them.
Yeah, get them on next week. Get them both on at the same time, Jennifer. We need that discussion. We have to have that discussion. Hey, we're doing a daily poll now. We're calling it the freestyle poll. And our weekend poll was, what is your favorite Olympic equestrian discipline? And, Jamie, you must be having influence here on the show because of our listeners. This was the results. There were four choices: eventing, jumping, dressage, and don't watch, too busy riding my own pony. And the results are eventing at 44%. Jumping and dressage came in even at 28%. So it looks like you definitely the eventers led the way on this poll.
And, well, you don't even have to be an eventer to understand that when you watch show jumping, you're watching show jumping. And when you're watching dressage, you're watching dressage. When you're watching eventing, you get three things, which, of course, the most exciting is cross-country, without a doubt. So, you know, of course it's going to be eventing. You get all three. Now, who picked dressage as their favorite to watch? I mean, spectator, I love dressage. Spectator sport-wise, come on. You're lying to yourself.
My guess is that there would be some dressage riders in our audience. That would be my guess. Now, even some of the most diehard dressage riders and some of the professionals, under their breath, after you're off the air, will tell you that they don't even watch all the tests. They will tell you that if they're honest.
I'm an eventer and I don't watch all the dressage or show jumping, so you know I can totally get it. I get it. I don't even listen to our show.
Well, one last story here. There's a beautiful white horse that's going to be running here in the Travers Stakes coming up.
Yes, and let me just tell you why they're still pointing him to the Travers. But really, that's the thing. That's the thing about the owner of Hansen, and it's Dr. Kendall Hansen. And he ran him at West Virginia Derby at Mountaineer Park, and they were supposed to dye his tail blue. I don't even think they did that because they didn't make mention of it. Well, this was going to be his lead into the Travers. Well, he lost. And so that's kind of the sad thing is Hansen lost, and we absolutely love this horse. Not such a big fan of his kind of moron owner. But the other horse who lost this weekend that was pointed to the Travers was Shackleford. You remember Shackleford from last year? He's still going strong, and he didn't have a good run, but I guess he doesn't run very well in the mud. It was pouring down rain. He was in the one spot. He couldn't break free. So two of our favorite horses didn't win this weekend. Three with Usain Colt. So we had a bunch of losers this weekend, and that makes me sad.
And on that, we'll end the show. We'll let you go out and play with your vampire horse. You know, you might as well just change his name to Vampire Horse as his official, you know, registered name, and then we'll just call him Edward as a short name, you know, as his barn name.
Can I just point out that I only have to deal with you an hour and a half, maybe every couple days, so really what you say doesn't matter. You're the only one who called him Vampire Horse, except for, well, you and Barbara, who called in earlier. She called him Vampire Horse, too.
I got news for you. All of our listeners are now calling him the Vampire Horse, too, so you're...
I would like to point out that Tomiko, who... Oh, she gets me, okay? She gets me. She said that she loves the fact that I named him after Edward Ferris. She even knew who Edward Ferris was, and she thinks that that's a good name. So suck it. Somebody out there understands me.
Well, that's it, everybody. We'll have a recorded show for you tomorrow. We'll be back live on Wednesday morning. Enjoy the Olympics. Go off and watch Show Jumping now. It's on right now, so go check it out online. Oh, and unless, of course, they put on water polo, then you won't be able to watch it.
I love when the Irish riders come out with their green coats on. There's an Irish rider going right now. Everybody have a great day. Go ride your horse. Spay, neuter, and gill. Except for don't gill flexible.
Edward.
We can keep him.
The heartthrob of the vampire world.